to another episode of Just Our Luck podcast. I am joined today with the one, the only, Gerard. How are you, Gerard?
I am here. We'll be good.
That's all that matters. And I would like to say congrats to you. You are the first male on the show.
Period. King.
You know, it only took 4 episodes for me to, you know, want to diversify, I guess.
I feel so honored.
As you should, okay? As you should. As I like to do with my guests, I have a rapid fire question section.
Wow.
Did you see this coming? I don't know. So it's only 3 questions. Don't worry. Nice, short, sweet, simple. The first one, entrepreneur or corporate America?
The first one.
Entrepreneur?
Okay. I want to own my own business.
Okay.
I don't like when people tell me what to do.
I feel that. You be your own boss.
Period.
Makes sense. All right. Next one. College or real world experience? Exactly.
I feel like with college, they kind of like prep you for real life experience, you know?
Yeah.
I feel like with real life, it's going to hit you really hard, you know?
Smack you in the face.
Can I curse?
Absolutely.
Life don't give a fuck.
No.
With college, it's kind of give you like, it's going to hit you, trust and believe. It's going to attack.
Mm-hmm.
Violate you.
Right. But,
it's not, you know, you still have protection. You just have people there. Sorry. You still have people there for you. You know?
No. Yeah. Real world will smack you in the face and be like, okay, moving on. College is like, like a smack in the face in college is kind of like you tripped and you fell on your face, but like you can get back up.
However, though, I will have to say real world problems, probably because for me, at least, I'll have more control over how to deal with those issues, per se.
Versus being in college?
Yeah, you're more like confined.
I've never gotten this answer before. Very interesting. I really appreciate this perspective.
You're welcome.
Oh my gosh. I feel like in college, your bubble is so, well, I guess depending on, you know, what groups of people you hang out with, whatever, your bubbles are so like niche.
Yeah.
That it's hard to escape. Very hard. How do you get out? I don't know. And then last question, suburbs or urban life?
let me see. Well, all my life I lived the urban life.
Like, you know, do you crave green grass and, you know, I don't want to say a picket fence, but.
Yeah. Because I live all my life in like urban areas, stuff like that, I wouldn't mind trying to live in a different area.
Switch it up. Try something new.
Yeah.
You might love it or not.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, that's what life's about.
Exactly.
Doing things and figuring out if we like it or not. And if we don't, we got to start over. So fun. So exciting. Well, thank you for your answers. We love your perspective.
Ooh, child.
You know? See, you lived. You're fine.
Yes.
Good Lord. All right. So now we're going to move into, you know, the news corner. Sometimes I like to throw in something a little relevant. How are the people, you know, how are we learning from this? What's going on? How can we apply this to our lives? So I don't know if you know, but, you know, the 46th president. No. We're talking about Joseph Robinette Biden. I don't know if he's 46 or 47?
46.
Okay. See, I be knowing things. So he extended student loan, the pausing of like interest rates and all that, if you have student loans and stuff, until September 30th. So we, you know, we as in me, who has a federal loan or two. Sally Mae didn't come for me. Absolutely not. She wasn't going to give me even no 20% interest loans. But I'm not judging if you have them. Anybody out there? We have to pay for education somehow. So essentially what that means is the interest rates are paused. You know, whatever you stopped at when you graduated college, especially if you were class of 2020 and you had those 6 months, and then they were like, okay, girl, it's time for you to start paying. And then, you know, the pandemic happened and then they paused it. And then, you know, everybody in Congress was moving, like the tortoise. And, you know, student loans was creeping way back up. Just kidding. We have a whole nother 10 months, less than a year, whatever. Yeah. So, of course, you know, CNN wrote an article. And, of course, they were like, how can you take advantage of this time? So I'm just going to go through a couple points, you know, if this apply to people, specifically in the debt region. I personally don't have debt. I am terrified to owe anybody money. Mm-hmm. Not even my friends. Maybe my mother, but... family. Right. Say family. Shit, whatever. You know, if they offer, who am I to say no? So with, you know, this whole pausing of student loans, CNN recommends, you know, you could pay down your credit card bill if you have some debt. Once again, you should definitely do that because they definitely have that at like 20%. And, you know, just some math 101. Let's say you missed your bill, $300. When the interest comes, you'll be looking at like $360 to pay off. And if you didn't have $300 before, where's the extra 60 coming from? A scam. Listen, the hustle.
I support it.
Get it where you can. Personally, I cannot foresee myself promoting an OnlyFans for, you know, like my friends on Twitter to be like, oh yeah, I'll subscribe. No, that's okay for me. But whoever else is out there, you do that. I want nobody coming. Kimani, I saw something. No, you didn't. Mind your business. Moving on. CNN also recommends that you can build up an emergency savings account, which is pretty much like you should save about 3 to 5 months of expenses.
Yeah.
You know, just in case you lose your job, for those who are employed and have to pay their bills, as you will be doing in the future, Gerard. We'll get into that later. They also bring up retirement, which... I mean, they tell you to start saving for retirement, but ma'am, I am 23 years old. I'll think about that in a year.
You're 23?
Yes, a fresh 23. Getting older. And then the last one, which obviously, who's really trying to do this, is consider making payments on your student loans anyway. If they're paused and nobody's looking for this money right now, why would I can see why I should make it, but also there's probably more important things.
Yeah.
Also, will I be waiting to see if they cancel student loan debt? Absolutely.
That's true.
So listen, I'll take the $50,000. I guess I'll take 10. Preferably 50. But whatever, it's fine. Moving on. So, Gerard, did you have student loans? Was that a part of your college? Wow. But I mean, I'm...
Guidance counselor had to apply to a lot of scholarships.
Mm-hmm.
And then EOP came along, and then MLK came along.
Right.
So, yeah.
Oh, yeah. There was no need.
Yeah, basically.
I mean, you did have a rigorous summer, like your freshman, like going into freshman year. So, like, me only being in MLK, I was like, okay, social justice, community service, you know, looking at EOP, taking classes in the summer. Yeah. We just graduated from high school 5 days ago.
Honestly, yep. Wow.
You know, like, why would they do that to y'all? I understand the importance of education.
Yeah.
But also, why?
It was fun, though.
That's good.
People, you know. get you a taste of what college is going to be like, you know, before everybody else. So
a hot nice. Mess. College in general is a hot mess.
Yeah, you're right.
You know, just
shout out to C Hall though.
We learned so much, gained so much. Good Lord. All right, so Gerard, let's get into you. You know, who are you? What's your story? You know, what are you writing in that journal?
Oh, wow. What?
Okay, maybe not the journal part, you know. You know, keep it to yourself if you would like. But, you know, like, obviously we met at school. What was your major? Did you graduate? Are you still in school?
What's? Oh, wow. I would not be here if I didn't graduate. I'm sorry.
I mean,
I would not embarrass myself. All right. So I guess I'll start by saying, I went to Seton Hall University. Fun fact, I, you know, what is it, applied to be a creative writing major. However, I did not know what I wanted to do. So for a lot of different colleges that I applied to, different majors I signed up to be. One was like business management. Other one was business administration.
So you was out here picking majors left and right.
I didn't.
For funsies.
Sometimes I forget which one I chose.
Imagine you get to the school and they're like, okay, Gerard, so you are in the biology program.
Where's my notebook? Where's the
I don't remember. I don't remember applying to this program. Is there a mix up?
So, end up choosing Seton Hall simply because my mother like wanted me to go. Because at first, I applied to like 10 colleges, got into them, and I really only chose those colleges because I wanted to hear my name in the loudspeaker in high school.
Yes.
So they could say like how much money you got for the scholarship.
Oh.
So I just want to hear my name.
For the ego.
Period.
Okay. Good Lord.
Anyway, so went to Seton Hall, got into the EOP program. That was fun.
Now, what for those who wouldn't know what an EOP program is?
Not me promoting. EOP stands for Educational Opportunity Program. It's a New Jersey state grant. That's given to people who live in New Jersey for over a year and who's dealing with economic challenges, basically.
So
this program at Seton Hall, it was a summer program. It was ran for 6 weeks. They gave us 7 free credits. We took classes, taught us how to write resumes as well and, like, create a LinkedIn. Met a lot of people, you know. It was just really 60 of us on campus, so we basically, like, kind of ruled campus, even though we only had to. It was only allowed to go to X, where we lived at, with Xavier. The library, if you want to print something out. EOP office, and then a cafe, basically. And then, like, a few classrooms. So we really didn't know much about Seton Hall campus.
As you lived on Seton Hall's campus.
Listen, first day of classes, fall semester, I was lost. I'm like, what the heck? Not even that, because, you know, most people at Seton Hall at EOP were, you know, people of color, white people, Latinos, Asian, whatever. So the first day, you know, classes, fall semester, I was walking out of Bowling, and I'm like, wow, there's a lot of white people. Interesting.
Oh my gosh. On top of the fact that Seton Hall is on the edge of a all-black city. All-black. Majority, like heavily
urban,
black.
Urban.
Urban.
Not urban.
Like, not gentrified urban, even though at the time of our freshman year, like, wasn't really gentrified. As we got through school, they were definitely trying to get in. But yes.
Yeah. So, you know, again, I was a creative writing major, and then, you know, I met a lot of few people through MLK, talking about a lot of social injustices, like racial issues. And, Being part of Dr. Martin Luther King Junior Scholarship Association.
Period.
We had to take a MLK class.
we sure
and
did.
That counts as a Black Studies or AKA African Studies class. So, you know, looking into that, I'm like, wow, actually major in this. So I talked to my advisor, your PR advisor.
Little did we know.
Never mind. talked to my advisor. He's like, yeah, you can take this class and like that. Cool, cool, cool. Mm-hmm. But again, I don't like when people tell me what to do. So like, right. I don't really hear what they say. And I go back and choose my own classes because I don't got time for that. So I made my own schedule. And the next semester was basically Black Studies courses. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, this is really nice. I like this. Got close, super close with one professor. Mm-hmm. And, you know, he would take us to events. Mm-hmm. And then the next year, he eventually helped me and a couple of my friends to create an organization called Council of African Scholars, where we basically was the support system for AFAM majors and minors or anybody taking the class.
Literally the support system, because there was none in the College of Arts and Sciences, Seton Hall University, founded in 1856, whatever that year is. I don't know. Right. Like, honestly, the freaking... Y'all could call yourselves like the provost and the office of the provost of the Africana Studies program.
Shout out to Concern 44. Anyway, a moment we would never forget.
Like, who has to protest for a better curriculum? Have you heard of that? Like,
yes, but it was just crazy because they were really talking out there next saying that we this, we that.
Right. And the crazy thing is, like, people, like a Seton Hall alumni who had no idea, who probably had never, first of all, have never taken an Africana Studies anything, let alone known there was an Africana Studies program. They're talking out their neck, you know, like, well, if you don't like it, you know, you could go to another school, blah, 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 whatever. First of all, Billy, Kelly, Karen, whatever. Like, so you're telling me you'd have no problem with you walked into this university thinking you take your cute little 18 to 30 classes, whatever, and graduate with the major. And there are people in like their sophomore, junior years who are like, where are these credits coming from? Because
that's the thing.
Where are the classes?
Like, the big issue with AFAM majors and minors is that, you have to reach a certain amount of like credits.
Right.
And fun fact, cause it changed now, but I think it was like 42 credits you're supposed to get. And that was like one of the most credits you got to get for a major back then, like a few years ago.
Yeah, I think my individual, like my specific concentration in the business school, I think it was like 21 credits max, which was 7 classes.
Exactly. And the thing is, you say like you gotta take this many credits, mm-hmm. but you're not offering the right amount
right.
of classes.
Spring and summer, we go to log in. Mm-hmm. Why are you offering class the second succession of this class?
Yeah.
And the last time you offered, the first succession was last year. We weren't here to take the class.
Not even that. I took one class called African Cultural Philosophy. That was not taught in 30 years.
Wasn't that the class we were in? Child, I learned so much about the African culture.
The professor said he hadn't taught this class so long that there was no computers. Like, he really had to, like, come up with
him loading anything onto Blackboard was a struggle. Us uploading anything onto Blackboard was a struggle. I'm pretty sure we printed, like, he would say this essay is due. Did he talk about the essay for a good 3 weeks after that due date? No. All of a sudden, all right, so you know, in 2 weeks this essay's due, and we're over here like,
listen, are YouTube videos now?
Because why am I coming to a class for an hour and 15 minutes and we are watching a 30 minute YouTube video? You know what I could have done? Watched it in my damn room.
And then tell me the day of the class when I walk in, Gerardo, you're going to teach class today.
Like, I'm sorry. Like, you know, the people who are there have heart. But when it comes to, listen, I briefly thought about getting an Africana Studies minor. because why not? I was already taking like a couple classes here and there. But the way, first of all, the way these professors wanted me writing 10-page papers was not happening.
Listen,
the way it was the same professor. Yes, please.
I mean, never mind. We want to skip. What you say?
No, okay. Listen, we can go on for days about the lack of programs that we were given as students of color. So did you end up graduating with your major in Africana studies?
Yes.
Okay.
But not with creative writing, though.
Mm.
So sophomore year was a, you know, rough year.
Mm-hmm.
And I had this one professor because, you know, with me, creative writing, I like to write poetry and stuff mm-hmm. like that. I like writing essays too. It's just like, I like how you're able to be creative with what you want to say and mm-hmm. like make your own points or whatever like that. I like that. But so I have an issue with professors like kind of tell you like, oh, yeah, you know, make a point. You know, you have the right to make any points you want, but just make sure you back it up. And you make a point, you back it up, and they still say, no, I don't agree or something like that. So I had this one professor who did that. And that messed my confidence up as a writer.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm like, you know what? I can still be a writer, but I don't have to like go through this. I'm not missing my GPA for this.
Right, right.
So I told my European advisor, he was like saying like, oh, but you know, every revolution has a good writer. I'm like, that's cute. Yeah.
That's a nice, you could put that on a nice tote bag, a nice sweatshirt. Cute button.
So I pulled out the big old catalog. I'm like, all right. Because
also, let's talk about how literally every year they had their own course catalog except the class of 2020. Like, we came in freshman year, they were like, our books are on back order, but don't worry, you're gonna get a course catalog, keep it for your records, blah blah, whatever.
Yes.
Nothing. What happened next year?
Got a whole book.
Class 2021 has their own course catalog. That's interesting.
Wow.
That's very interesting. That was the first time I felt C.N. Hall was trifling, and wouldn't be the last. Ugh.
I forgot about that.
Mm-hmm. And me, the neurotic person I am, I'm like, if I get an opportunity to plan out my next 4 years, why would I not?
To be honest, yeah.
We were hoodwinked and bamboozled. Proceed, though.
So, I forgot where I was at. Oh, so I went through the catalog.
Mm-hmm.
I'm like, sociology. This sounds interesting. And I looked up like possible jobs you get with a sociology major. I'm like, all right, social worker, guidance counselor. Because I knew that I wanted to help people in some way. So I was like, all right. So I emailed the chairperson of the sociology, social work department, whatever. And I'm like, can I have a meeting? Because at this time, my plan was to double major in sociology, Africana, and then double minor in creative writing and women and gender studies.
Okay.
So
this is sophomore year. The plan switched a little.
Yeah.
Okay.
This is the end of sophomore year, beginning of junior year. And, you know, I met with her and I told her my plan, whatever, like that. And she looked at me. She said, why are you doing so much? You're doing way too much. She said, basically saying, like, at the end of the day, yes, you got a degree in whatever state you did, but it's all about how you apply the things you learned in college to your everyday life and to your job.
Mm-hmm.
That's what, you know, employers are looking at. That's basically the whole purpose of college. It's not about what you major, it's about how you applying, you know, your knowledge, your experiences, whatever. So I was like, okay. So I was like, bet. So I took out a woman's gender study, took out creative writing, and just stuck with sociology and eighth year. Because with sociology, it's such a broad, general major.
Right.
You basically learn it a little bit of everything about race, about sexuality, about gender, about religion, every little thing.
Right.
And I like that because at that moment, I still didn't know what exactly I wanted to do.
Mm-hmm.
So fast forward, it's senior year. MOKSA is having their annual fall retreat. And we were doing one activity where we had to like discuss a social injustice or like an issue in society, something like that.
Mm-hmm.
And it was about, honestly, I forgot what it was about. But it made me think, like, hey, maybe I should work in, like, you know, DIFIS or, like, child protection service or system.
Yeah, CPS.
Like, CPS. I want to help kids, you know. I think it's really important. And then, you know, fast fast forward a little bit more, kind of like lost that in my head because I was being up in that, and they were saying like you need like probably like a social work major,
right?
Social, psychology and all that. I'm like, I don't got time for that.
Right, we're not switching our majors again.
Nope.
No.
So I got to look what I got. So winter break that year, 2019, I was looking into like stuff, and I was thinking, I was watching Boy Meets World, mm-hmm. and one of the characters saying like she's doing a Peace Corps. I'm like, oh, the Peace Corps. Let me mm-hmm. look into that. I looked into it, I'm like, this is really interesting. I'm like, I'm gonna do this. So I found them on Instagram, went on their own website, see what the requirements, all that kind of stuff, different job positions. I'm like, all right, I wanna do this. And then the next semester started, there was a a meeting about it, diplomacy, school diplomacy had a meeting about it. I went there, cool, I like it. Put my name on the email thing. Mm-hmm. Cool. And then a few months later, Mona came.
Child.
And things got fucked up. So everything is up in the air now. You know, I'm just focused on trying to make sure I graduate on time.
Right.
Online schooling at that moment wasn't it for me. And like, no. I already had so many things going on. My mind was not there. So I was just barely making it. And then I also was applying to grad school though. To be okay. For public administration, focused on nonprofit, because I wanted to have like a plan just
in case. Okay, yes. Yeah. So Peace Corps was your plan A. You know, going to grad school was the plan B.
Plan B. It was going to be either Senior Hall or Rutgers. Mm-hmm. And I'm just choosing Senior Hall because, to be honest, I was too lazy to apply.
Honesty is the policy.
Yeah, and I like Senior Hall was really like plan B, so I just wanted something there,
right?
Concrete there. So like, you know, but Peace Corps for that,
right?
So I applied to I texted you. So I applied to send in my application for grad school, and I texted you. I did it. The next day, I got accepted. And I'm like, wow, I texted you. I was like, wow, that was bad.
That admission system was moving at the speed of light, bro. What?
And then, cool. End up graduating. And then I went to a few meetings for the Peace Corps, and it was basically saying, like, you know, things are still up in the air, mm-hmm. and, like, you could apply now, but most people apply earlier already, like, last year, 2019.
Oh.
And I'm like, so I had to think.
Right.
Like, knowing me, if I decline my acceptance for grad school, mm-hmm. that means I got to do the Peace Corps. But if I do the Peace Corps and don't get in, my mental gonna be fucked up.
Right. There goes so like, plan B and plan A.
Period. So I'm like, I gotta do something. Mind you, I forgot that I also had another job, FYE Remington, as a part-time sales associate. But I wasn't thinking that because I hadn't worked there so long. I'm like, yo, I'm gonna, after the summertime, all that, I'm gonna be unemployed. I have nothing to do. Oh my God, I gotta come up with something.
Right.
So I end up deciding to just do grad school. So I said, let me just do grad school just to be safe.
Right.
Let's just do it. I need to do
the something. Worst you can do is have a master's degree or whatever. you know.
So I stuck with that. And then I'm like, all right, since I'm doing grad school, I'm going to need to like live on campus because I cannot live here in this school.
Right.
I just can't. And I tried to reach out to the residents, people. Mm-hmm. They were saying like, there's a wait list. You know, And I'm like, okay. And then later on that day, I'm like, all right, we got to find some job because I cannot just be here all day.
Right.
School. Like, I need to
so was your need to find a job while doing grad school because you just needed something to do? Or like, was there any like financial commitment for you to go to grad school?
No. So
okay.
Did grad school because I was thinking, there would probably be some financial aid, something like that. Mm-hmm. We'll get to that soon.
Okay.
But really just to support myself, and also, like, I knew that if I couldn't be able to live on campus, that means I gotta find my own place.
Right.
So I'm like, we need to start.
Right.
So that's, like, the end of May. I was applying to different jobs, like working at Home Depot or Red Cross, I think it's called.
You can work at the Red Cross?
Interesting. Yeah. What else? Like a sneaker place, and then like also like nonprofit, whatever it is.
Right.
I just got to do something. But I found found these two jobs. I was like, oh, this is really cool. The other job, I think it was like customer service, and the other one is my current job.
Okay.
So I did the customer service thing. It was kind of easy. And then the other job, my current job, I had to do like a cover letter, and then the requirement was like you put that like driver's license, and like you're basically helping families and kids with emotional and mental challenges, and okay. basically helping them find resources for that.
So like in that social work field,
yeah,
which is what you're in school for right now.
Yeah, not kind of.
Well, okay,
nonprofit, but yeah. So I applied. I texted you, and mm-hmm. I texted my other friend to check my cover letter. I'm like, I'm really feeling like this. The job. This is my job. I
right.
need to make sure that it's perfect.
You felt a calling.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, this is like, it's got to be a dream job. So I submit the applications, and then it's like the first week of June, and I get a call from the customer service job. And it was like, yeah, I saw your resume. We're interested in you. You know, just got to do the interview thing. It's online. I'm like, okay, cool. Yeah. I texted you and a few people about it. Cool. And then I was like, let me check my email, see if they sent me anything. And I saw that my dream job, my current job,
mm-hmm.
sent me an email saying, they love my cover letter and they want to like talk to you more.
Period.
Oh wow. So I was like, bet. So I told them I could meet with them. I think it was like Thursday. And I told them I could meet with them the next week, like Monday, whatever. And the customer service job was the next day, on Friday. So Friday comes. I'm like, I mean, I don't really care. I'm like, the other job want me. I don't really want y'all anymore.
Right. Exactly. It's like, you were a plan B, sweetie. My dream job is right here. So no offense. Like, you were just a backup. Sorry.
That interview was stupid as hell. I don't remember much. I just remember it was too complicated. And then one question was like, if you could be a superhero, what would you be? And I'm like,
I literally hate those, like, boring, bland.
I'm thinking, like, all right, I'm not even into, like, superhero movies and stuff like that anymore. So I have to think, like, what was my favorite superhero back in the day? Batman, but I can't really talk much about him. I just liked him because he was cool.
You know? Mm-hmm.
Human Torch, he had firepower. You know, that was cool. Nightcrawler, he looked cool. Status Shop, he was black. And, you know, he was cool.
So hashtag representation.
So I tried doing that, and I kept messing up. I'm like, man, fuck. So I just submitted the thing, and then they called me, and it was like, oh, you see, you submitted something, but it looks like you messed up. I'm like, all right, I'm going to check. Never check. They kept calling me. I kept, you know, I'm like, I'm not doing it all.
Oops. Blocked you. Whoops.
The next week, time for the interview. I wasn't that good with Microsoft Teams yet. So she said, like, you know, I'm going to send you the link for the meeting.
Mm-hmm.
I'm like, cool. So I'm expecting, like, the URL in blue, so I can click on it, and cool.
Oh, God.
So I'm looking for it. I don't see. I'm like, yo, she's really playing me. Yo, God, you really, like, really. All people want
to
do is...
Gerard, you're too old to be having these problems with technology.
They just want to waste my fucking time.
Oh, cool. No.
And then I called her. I'm like, hello? And she didn't answer. I'm like, wow.
Oh, no.
Wow, look at me.
Oh.
Wow, we love to see it. And then she ended up calling me back, and then she was like, yeah, what were you? I'm like, you didn't send the link. And she was like, yes, I did. You got to look at the bottom where it says joint meeting, Microsoft Teams. I'm like, oh, okay.
That is embarrassing. Embarrassing. Not only did you miss an interview, but you did not scroll down to see
I didn't know we could click. I didn't know we could click right there. I thought it was just like a stamp.
Gerard, we use Microsoft Teams in college. Well, no excuses. Like no excuses. Anyway, let's move on.
anyway, we decided to meet the next day.
Mm-hmm.
Mind you, this is like when Black Lives Matter movement was really popping again.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, I had to use that. And then she said, I think her husband was like a senior hall alum. So I'm like, use that. And then we just talked about diversity, mm-hmm. and like why it's so important to like be there for each other, and, you know, stuff.
Oh, yes. I love these new diversity questions, because I think my current job, they definitely asked mm-hmm. me something like, what does diversity mean to you? And I was like, I literally said, okay, well, obviously it's not just about race.
All right, thank you.
You know, which, and you can tell, like, that's always the question, the answer she gets. And I was like, okay, not me getting these answers right. But like, come on, people, let's use Merriam-Webster's dictionary. Differences. ableism, you know, racism, ageism, sexism, all of the isms, mindset, political. Come on. One day I'll give the insight into faking it till you make it on these answers, honey.
To be honest. But, you know, she said she liked me all day. I'm like, cool, cool, cool. Mm-hmm. She asked me, do I have any questions? I'm like, yes. How much do you pay? Any benefits?
The right questions.
Work behind you. You
know, the right questions.
So, you know, she answered. I'm like, okay, cool, cool, cool. Great. And she said, yes. So the next time we're going to see each other, you're going to meet a couple supervisors just so they can talk to you, you know, have a conversation. Mm-hmm. I'm like, okay, cool. Thank you so much. Yeah. So I, you know, ended the meeting. I'm so excited. I'm like, I got the job.
All right. Yeah, I'm employed, all that kind of stuff. Confidence is high. People,
da, da, da. But then I started thinking, I'm like, wait. I think the interview process is not over yet. I think the meeting with the supervisor.
Yeah. When they say you'll be meeting with more people, that
listen,
is a...
Listen to this. It's very important.
That means that is a plus because you're a step up, mm-hmm. but it's a negative because you still got to talk to more people.
You're still outside. Like, when I tell you I was in my head, I was praying so hard. I'm like, God, do not let me fuck this up.
Right.
I told so many people, we do not want to be embarrassed, please, Lord.
Oh my God, I literally hate telling people when I used to get interviews, or even at minimum apply to things, because don't ask me. I'll let you know when it happens.
I'm
the type of person to let you know when I get the job, yeah. because I don't want you asking me in the middle of the process, and I'm over here like, well,
That ain't never know which point of downfall either. So
that's true.
So,
the evil eye is real.
But not to say, you know, talk bad about anybody. I'm just myself. So, the interview came. It was three people, two supervisors, and one person in the leadership role, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Well, excuse me. Working and shit. they asked me about, like, how was I like as a student leader on campus, and then my work ethic as being a sales associate at FYE, and mm-hmm. how I can link that back to working office setting, and then also like being a social worker.
Any questions relating, like trying to connect retail to what like you actually want to do in life? I'm like, please don't make me lie to you.
It's, you know, it can help you.
You can finesse it really well, especially when it comes to like, especially if you're in customer service,
points or like,
yeah, credit cards, yeah. like memberships, mm-hmm. like stuff yeah, like that. Yeah. But like, ma'am, I was working in retail because I wanted money because I needed a job.
To be honest.
I was not thinking about how I could turn this into a real world life experience.
Yeah.
Uh-uh.
Oh. So, and then like, few questions they asked me, like, if you get this job, will you still work for FYE? I said, no, I will not. Because I didn't know what the response would be like. So I was like, no, I will not.
Right.
And then,
this is the priority.
Yeah.
This right here.
No, but my plan was to still keep FYE though and only work on the weekend.
Oh, so you lied.
But I didn't want to mess my chance up. And they was like, are you able to do this a full-time job? Are you willing to do that?
Mm-hmm.
You being a student. And I was like, yeah. But I was also thinking about doing grad assistant.
Mm.
But that requires 20 hours a week.
Oh.
And I won't be able to fit that in working a 9-to-5.
No.
This is 5 days a week. So no. I was like, yeah, I do it, you know. So I got the job. Benefits, amazing. Money, it's good, but, you know, considering a social work job, it's good. But
okay.
Social workers need to be paid more. Because,
right. As they're out here saving lives.
To be honest. Got the job. My first day was July 13th. I got a laptop, a tablet, a phone, a jacket. It was really
not a work phone. Oh, they have a budget.
It was an Android.
Yeah. Okay. Take that back. Disregard.
It was a bundle sale, you know.
Oh my God, when they advertise like T-Mobile, Verizon, like, come and get, you know, get a free tablet when you get a new phone. I'm screaming. Listen, save that money, honey.
Period. We need it. But it was good. You know, working is really good, but it's just different. people there. Mm-hmm. So it's like really empty. Like all the like the fun things I would hear about like people doing the office, the energy wasn't there. So it was just really weird. And then like learning so many things because you got to learn how to write progress notes. You have to learn how to work in a certain system, how mm-hmm. to set up meetings, what to do when you call family, the paperwork when you have your meetings. It was a lot, and you had to do it. It's basically virtual. Yeah. You learn all that kind of stuff. And sometimes, you know, somebody can show you something, and you're like, yeah, I got it. And then you forget about it.
Right.
Or, like, the people teaching us forgets to tell us this because
it's right. not,
like,
something important.
More. Yeah. So it was a little difficult because, again, trying to remember everything. Then also, with my position, I'm meant to be promoted.
Okay. So,
right now, I'm a camp manager, support specialist, level one. Just recently, I got promoted to camp manager, support specialist, level two.
Ooh, period. A promotion in a pandemic. Oh, my gosh. Look at you.
Love to see it. And then the last level is camp manager. Mm-hmm. Basically, like, the differences between those levels is the amount of loads you can have, like, cases you can have.
Gotcha.
And also, like, the money.
Mm-hmm.
So right now, level two, the most cases I can have is 12 and I'm getting paid a little bit more.
Okay.
Awesome.
Do you feel like 12 is a lot? Whatever a lot means to you?
On paper, it seems like it's not.
Mm-hmm.
But like when you're really doing it, it can be a lot.
Right, because it's 12 families.
12 families.
Gotcha.
Different experiences, different challenges.
Okay.
And then also, like, the work that comes along with that.
And when you were level one, how many families did you have?
I had 10, actually.
Okay.
Yeah. I had 10. It's just, it can get a lot. It can be a little chaotic sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
You have to set up the initial meeting where you, like, presented them the initial packet and mm-hmm. where to sign and all that kind of stuff. And while they're doing that, you also got to get a verbal consent on everything as well.
Right.
So that takes a while. And then a few days later, you're supposed to have, like, a 30-day child family team meeting
mm-hmm.
where it'd be basically going discussing what exactly is going on, what areas do the kid and family need to work on, and then coming up with a plan to see how we can address those challenges.
Right.
And then weekly, at least once a week, call the family, see how's everything going, call a therapist if you're able to find a therapist, find anybody who's a part of like the support system for the kid,
mm-hmm.
get an update on the kid. And then every 90 day, you're basically doing another assessment, seeing where they still need to work on.
Gotcha.
And another plan, and then an annual, basically the same thing.
Right.
And then see if you're able to transfer them.
Because
our goal is to transfer them out
mm-hmm.
under a year.
Okay.
So I'm trying to get them the right tools, the right sources.
All within a year.
So they're good and stable.
Wow.
And then we can move on.
So how exactly do you do all of this and you're in grad school?
So.
Because this sounds very rigorous.
Yeah, it is.
Okay.
Because I'm thinking, you know, I was able to take 18 credits. I was involved in campus.
Mm-hmm.
I got this. Three classes, I got this. Last semester, because mind you, I was still working at FYE. So I was working that job on the weekend.
Right.
And then the full-time job, mm-hmm. 5 days a week, 9 to 5, and then three classes, Monday, Tuesday, and Thursday, 9 to 7:30, basically. That was a lot.
Yeah.
One thing I can tell you is that my fear of, like, deadlines really went down. It went down.
Meanwhile, I'm over here, like, in school. I used to be like, oh, this is due in 2 weeks. Okay, I'll have it done in a week, and then I'll look at it a couple days before, just so I don't have the pressure of needing, of having, like, knowing that I have to get it done immediately.
Nah.
I'm dead.
It was not really with work, but really with school.
Okay.
And then also, like, my mental. Last semester was really rough because.
You're balancing a lot.
Mm-hmm.
You're balancing a lot.
Everything is connected.
Yeah.
Connected.
On top of the fact that when you're in social work, like, all you're doing is hearing about somebody else's life. And you're like, you know, not to say that everybody has a bad life if they need a social worker, but, like, it's not always roses.
I mean, if you was referring to us anyway. But yeah, it was like a lot of things to juggle, like my own mental emotional health, school, mm-hmm. working two jobs. Mm-hmm. It was a lot, and I found myself being burnt out.
Oh yeah.
But I ended up kept pushing, finding like different coping mechanisms to like keep me pushing.
Mm-hmm.
Started reading a book called The Meaning of Mariah Carey. It's a great book.
We all need our escapism. And especially when you're a lamb. Why not?
Yeah, apparently I am one. I didn't know I was.
Jerai, you didn't know you were a lamb?
No, I did not.
Okay. We all have our moments. Okay.
I bought a journal.
Mm-hmm.
Started writing in that just to clear my head before I go to sleep. And then kind of my like a little agenda or like things I'm expecting to do the next day,
mm-hmm.
just so I have a clear head on like what needs to get done. And then I started watching more shows, basically,
okay.
just to like escape from reality, going to like new shows. Ended up passing last semester. I passed.
Good.
Was not my best.
C's get degrees.
Not my best. Yeah, trust me. I ended up a couple. Well, last month I quit FYE.
Okay.
Because I realized one, they tried in retail.
Aren't they always in retail?
Minimum wage went up.
Mm-hmm.
And you know what they did? They decided to cut a lot of people hours because they couldn't afford us basically.
So a regular shift was what, 4 hours?
For me, 4 to 7, 4 to 8.
Okay, and they were like
at least twice a week.
Okay.
That shit got cut down to like 4 hours once a week. And I'm like, we're not doing it.
I'm not wasting my time.
Yeah. Basically.
Because the way the math is mathing is if you're paying me, let's say $12 to be generous, I'm making $48 a week minus taxes.
Yeah.
Minus lunch break. Because let's say I didn't bring lunch today. And gas.
Lunch break. What is that? What's 30 minutes?
Oh, 30 minutes is nothing, honey. Especially when you work at the mall, depending on where your store is.
Yes!
Compared to where the food court is. My 30 minutes is me getting there, ordering my food, and getting back.
To be honest.
Retail.
So I ended up quitting FYE, and I realized it was just, like, unnecessary weight. And, like, all that time I was working at FYE, I could use that doing work,
mm-hmm.
working on myself.
Mm-hmm.
So right now I'm currently doing 3 classes again for grad school, but also doing my working my job.
Okay.
So I'm free off the weekend. So.
And do you have an estimate of when you're graduating?
It's 2021 next year.
Fall.
Spring
2021.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I don't know what year we're in.
Wait.
No, that'd be 2022.
My bad, y'all. 2020.
Okay.
2022.
So, do you take summer classes?
One of the benefits for this job is that they help pay for classes.
Oh, period.
So, yeah, that's the goal.
So, not only are you getting financial aid,
that's another thing.
Mm.
Grad students do not get financial aid at all. The only thing you can do is get loans. Apparently, the government think once you got your bachelor's, you good, and you don't need no money from them. Lies you tell.
That does not make sense.
So, right now, EOP is helping me again.
Okay.
I am blessed to say that my mom is helping me again as well.
Okay.
Because I told her what's going on. She said, I got you.
I'm not really
sure. She said, I got you. I'm like, all right.
And so your job will also help you.
That. And then also, because of my great grades, allegedly, I got a scholarship.
Oh! They said, we got extra money here. Don't worry.
Yeah, it was good.
So listen,
I'm like,
oh, thank you. Because the way grad school is looking
thank you to the people. I'm like, thank you.
Oh, yeah. A nice thank you card. Thanks, sweetie.
Mm-hmm.
Zoom University's going great. Love the money. Love the access. I appreciate you. Whatever.
Exactly. So that's where I'm at right now.
Okay. So, working Monday through Friday, night classes, you occasionally want to lose your mind. but you haven't yet.
Yeah. Right now, because I'm going to a counseling service that Senior Hall offers called
mm-hmm.
CAPS.
Mm-hmm.
And my therapist, I talked to her last week,
mm-hmm.
And I learned one thing about myself.
Mm-hmm.
I work myself to the ground.
Oh, yeah.
And keep pushing.
And it's like, where am I going? I'm in the dirt.
Exactly. And I tend to lose myself, why I'm doing what I'm doing. And I'm learning to really relax and rest. Mm-hmm. It's okay to rest. So currently I'm trying to learn to take a time for myself, take a moment for myself.
Good.
And do something that I like to do.
Good.
And don't feel guilty. Don't feel ashamed about it.
No.
It's okay. Because what kind of broke my heart talking to her, after I talked to her, she said that, you sound depleted. And mm-hmm. I'm like, damn, you are right.
Right. And that's what crazy. You feel like in college, you know, when only school is your bubble, maybe your cute little part-time job. Mm-hmm. But here we are in like this real adult world.
Yeah.
We want to save to move out. We want, you know, to make money for the bills, and we're balancing school again.
And you're life keeps going.
Right. And life is happening. Life doesn't care that, you nope. know, you got class tonight after yeah. you just had a long day of caring yeah. for other humans.
Yes.
So here we are.
Like, and quickly about like working as a social worker,
mm-hmm.
it could be emotionally draining, because I had one coworker who told me that on one of his kid committed suicide.
Oh.
And it's like, that could be really rough, like working with his kid, trying to make sure they're good and all that. And then, you know, they kill themselves. You kind of low key start to blame yourself. Like,
right.
What did I do?
Right.
What could have I
mm-hmm,
done?
Mm-hmm.
It's a lot. So.
And that's why I love people. I love caring about people. I love yeah. when people do what makes them happy. But like, yeah. I can't take on this emotional, not even to call it like a burden, but it's like, if you see somebody needs help and you're interacting with them on a weekly basis, whatever, it's like, I want to help you. Let me save yeah. you. And yeah. you know, you can't, because A, that's life, and B, that's your job. You know,
mm-hmm.
you can't adopt every child
yeah.
who's mentally yeah. going through it.
And that's what I'm learning about my own personal life.
Mm-hmm.
Cause as you know, I love art.
Mm-hmm.
And I would do anything for anybody, basically, but especially if I really care and love you.
Mm-hmm.
I got you. But, you know, a lot of stuff happened last year, and with, you know, not getting a graduation,
mm-hmm.
not moving back home,
mm-hmm.
Moving back home, working, all this kind of stuff. As a person who, like, overthinks and, like, feel everything, I subconsciously, like, deaded myself. I killed myself. Like,
it's
I cut
too
my
much.
Emotion off, and I'm like, we're not going to do this. This is too much.
Right.
Let's focus on the future. Focus
right.
on what you got to do.
Right. What can we do right now in this moment to not yeah. feel like this?
Yeah.
And I agree, because even when I moved out, I did not have a job. I had, you know, me working at the wax center, and I knew that would pay the bills, but it wasn't mm-hmm. where I wanted to be. But not saying that I hated living at home, love my parents, but like me, in this pandemic, me mm-hmm. working at a job every day that I don't want to be at, and me living at home, it was mm-hmm. like something.
It was too much.
Something needs to change, because not only am I going to feel unproductive, not only am I just going to be like, oh my gosh, this isn't where I want to be in life. Oh my gosh, like, what mm-hmm. am I doing? Blah, 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 whatever. Like, I can't. We need to do something. And thankfully, you know, the nice little $600 we were getting every week was amazing. Loved it. So shout out to the government, I guess, occasionally.
Yeah, but also, you should, well, for me at least,
mm-hmm.
because I wasn't feeling my feelings,
mm-hmm.
all that stuff was bottling up. Like, it was just,
so you didn't have a release?
Nope.
Okay.
I stopped writing. I think the last time I wrote something happened and I was like trying to write what happened and mm-hmm. I really just started crying. I'm like, this is way too much.
Right.
I'm not doing this. So I just stopped filming stuff. Mm-hmm. But recently, I don't know, things just started happening again and I was feeling so many things. Mm-hmm. And like, it's one thing to feel your feelings, but it's another thing where you feel lonely and you feel like you don't have a space or somewhere you can be vulnerable.
Oh, for sure.
Or with. Because you're so scared of what you hear in your own head, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So, again, really learning to put all that emotional energy and, like, time and effort. I put in other people and, like, my working job and school and all that.
Mm-hmm.
Put that in myself and learning to be patient and giving my time to really feel what I'm feeling. You know,
yeah.
So,
feel your feelings.
Yes.
Please, because
they're not going nowhere.
No, they're not. They're really not. You know, you still being able to be in grad school, you have access to City Hall's, you know, counseling program. Hopefully, you know, for those who aren't in grad school, even if you have insurance. I found my therapist through Therapy for Black Girls, and at the moment I'm not seeing her, but you know, like me talking to her, like as I'm like getting ready to move out and like pretend to be an adult for real, I was like, yeah, no, I can't go through this life change right now. I need a professional. Dear God, please.
And, like, you don't need to have something going on in your life to have a professional. Like, it's okay to
that too. Talk
to somebody who don't know you,
mm-hmm.
who doesn't know your situation, and can just give you unbiased professional advice, which is perfectly fine.
Right. Because, I'm sorry, as much as I go to my mom for advice, you know, sometimes I just don't want to hear what she has to say. So, let insurance pay for someone to do that. Period. Well, Gerard, what an amazing conversation. Thank you so much. Not only did we get perspective, we got a nice little dose of mental health advice. Period. You know, we really got to understand what it's like working in the social work field, how you got there, how you're balancing school. Bless your heart. Bless your heart. And, you know, we are sending positive vibes. And
Wait. Before we go,
uh-huh.
A little song.
Oh, absolutely not. Okay, we're going to. This is. Oh, you were serious. Oh. And on that note, everyone, this has been.
Back with you.
Oh, God. Another episode of Just Our Luck Podcast. Please rate 5 stars and subscribe.
One more thing.
What?
Shout out to Kimani T.
Oh, my gosh.
She's really doing her thing. Though.
Goodbye.
Someone who met her freshman year. I am so proud of you.
Please, Gerard, you know I can't take compliments. I can't do this.
That's why I'm doing it.
Ugh, I'm uncomfortable.
Keep up the good work. Keep doing you. You are shining bright like it's that. You are shining.
Oh, no.
Diamond.
And on that note.
Edit that out.
Oh, maybe I won't now just for that. Goodbye.
Bye, guys.
'Alright, so for today's mindful mantra, you know, although Gerard and I were dropping a couple gems there at the end, I just want to end on a simple phrase. I listened to this lovely astrologist on the Ghost of a Podcast called, her name is Jessica Lagnato, and not only does she, you know, meld the worlds of astrology, but also just the basic, you know, human empathetic and just nurturing ways of not only listening to yourself, but, you know, connecting those pieces to how it affects, you know, the people around you and those you love and those you work with and things of that nature. So I highly recommend her. Of course, I have to throw in a little astrology. But once again, do not abandon yourself. You know, as Gerard and I were saying at the end and even the beginning, things are going to get hard, but you need to find those outlets that are going to bring you back to yourself in some sort of capacity. So thank you so much for listening to this episode of Just Our Luck Podcast. And you will be hearing from me again next week. Be productive, be blessed, and live your best. I did not mean to rhyme, I promise. Bye, guys.